Today's daf is daf Zion. So we got to the Mishnah. I hope you guys got to the Mishnah. We were together. Yeah. Mishnah, good, fine. Mishnah says, Misha Nigmar Dino, one who's received the Gemar Din, a verdict of whatever it was, Ubarach, and he runs away, Uba Lufne Osa Bezdin, goes back to that very Bezdin, Ein Sos Nes Dino. They don't overturn the case, unless there's good reason to. The Rashi explains here, Ein Sosin Lachser Velisa Litein Ula Yizhake. They don't go through the case again. Once they went through the whole situation, the case, and they came with a verdict, unless new information or evidence comes forward, they leave it as is. So then the Mishnah says, Kol makom sheyamdu shnaim, whenever two people are standing, v'yomu me'idim anu be'ish ploni shenidim mardino, the bezdin shal ploni, we testify that Reuven had a verdict in a different bezdin. And ploni ploni edav, and he say, these are the edim, we know the edim are. So then, hareza yereg, he gets killed based on that testimony of the edus that they received the gemar din elsewhere. So then the Mishnah says, Sanhedrin noheges ba'aretu b'chutzlart. Sanhedrin practices both in Eretz Yisrael and chutzlart as well. Now that's referring to a Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel. Even in chutzlart, you could have a Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel. Now it's only true, though, says the Rashba, if the Sanhedrin HaGadol is sitting in the Lishchas HaGazas. Once that is there, the Gemara says, Makom Gorim, the place is Gorim. So as long as the Sanhedrin HaGadol is in Lishchas HaGazas, so then it could, if you will, disperse its Kedusha to other Sanhedrin Ketanos, Bezdin of 23 that are elsewhere, even in Chutzlarts. But once the Sanhedrin is exiled, so then there's no performing any Bezdin Shel Chav Gimel. The Mishnah then says further, Sanhedrin ha-horeges echad b'shavua, a Sanhedrin that kills someone one every 7 years with capital punishment and with good reason to kill someone, that's called a nikres chavlanis, is called a, how do they say this in English?
Destroyer.
A destroyer, okay, they're a destroying type of a Sanhedrin. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah omer echad l'shivim shana, no, one every 70 years is what's qualified as a chavlanis. So then that's pretty infrequent, very infrequent. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva Omrim, they both said, Ilu hayinus ben Sanhedrin, had we been on the Sanhedrin, lo nereg adam me'olam. They never would have allowed anyone to be killed. They would have found some zechus, found something to ask a question to break up the edus, not allowing anyone to be killed. And now, of course, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the flip side of that, though, that's very nice of you, but the flip side, Omer, af hein mar ben shofchei damim b'Yisrael, by doing so, and not killing those who deserve to be killed, and not being b'arte rab mikarbecha, you're allowing, of course, evil to spread itself out, and you're undermining the whole system. So it has to be some level of fear factor.
In
jail does not exist. Either it's death or not. So there's no way of stopping. He kills, he doesn't get convicted, and that's it. So that was the other side. So then the Gemara says, Lufnei osa bezdin hu de'ein sosin. The Gemara is medayik that the Mishnah says if the person runs away and returns back to the bezdin that already gave him the verdict, so they're not going to overturn that case. It's final. Ha lufnei bezdin acher sosin. But if they go to a different bezdin, it seems to say in the Mishnah that they would be soser, at least they wouldn't overturn it. They would at least look into and they reevaluate all the different evidence. But then the Gemara says you have the opposite diuk from the Seifa. Hatani Seifa. Kol makom sheyamdu shnayim v'yomu me'idim anu esish ploni shenigmar dino bevestim ploni edav. Hareze nerag. So this says if you have edim from elsewhere, so then the halacha is that they would kill them. You can't go to another. You can't overturn it. So we just were medayik from the Mishnah that to a different bezdin you can overturn it. But here we say you can't overturn it. And so the Gemara says, Amar Bai explains Lokasha, there is no contradiction between these two different statements in the Mishnah. Kan be'Eretz Yisrael, kan b'chutzlarts. In Eretz Yisrael, if you run it from chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, you can overturn it, as we'll see, because the zechus of Eretz Yisrael will help give a hopefully innocent verdict. But running from Eretz Yisrael to chutzlarts, or probably even chutzlarts to chutzlarts, so then there is no added zechus, then you wouldn't overturn it. So the Gemara explains, how do we see such a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and chutzlarts? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Dustai Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shetach, Baruch Eretz Yisrael Chutzlarts. You run from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlarts, Ein Sosin as Dino. You do not overturn it, but Mi Chutzlarts Laaretz, you run from outside of Eretz Yisrael. To Eretz Yisrael, the Loch is Sosin as Dino, you can overturn it, again, if you could find evidence proving so, Mipnei Zechusel Shel Eretz Yisrael, because the Zechus in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps connected to the concept of the Gemara Baba Basra, Avira, Da'ari Yisrael Machkim, perhaps very related to that, that it makes you smarter, you could think of things different in Eretz Yisrael, you have a certain actual Zechus there, then you can overturn a verdict coming from Chutzlarts. Gemara now says, Sanhedrin no heges. So Minah and Emila, how do you know this to be the case? So the Gemara says, V'hayu elu lachem l'chukas Mishpat l'dor seichem. This should be for you, for generations to judge. So what do you mean? What do you learn from here? So the Gemara explains, Lamadnu l'Sanhedrin shano heges ba'aret u'b'chutzlart, that we see that Sanhedrin practices not only in Eretz Israel, but even in Chutzlart, you could have a Bezdin shel Chav Gimel. Again, as long as there's a Sanhedrin Hagadol that is in the Lishchas Hagazis. Simkein ma tamalomer b'sharecha. So what do you learn? If you have it all over the place, what do we learn from the words b'sharecha? The pasuk shoftim v'shoftim t'itan decha b'sharecha u'b'sharecha tamoshiv bati dinam b'chol pelech u'b'chol iver ir. So in sharecha, which means in Eretz Yisrael, sharecha seems to indicate Eretz Yisrael, your gate, which is Eretz Yisrael. So in sharecha, in Eretz Yisrael, you have to have a bezdin in every pelech u'pelech, every ear. So how do they define pelech here? Province? A district, okay, every district, every city. And b'chutz la'aretz, ata moshiv b'chol pelech u'pelech, you have one stationed in every district, but v'i ata moshiv b'chol ir v'ir, but you don't have one in every single city. So only misharecha, in Eretz Yisrael, you have b'chol ir v'ir, as the pasuk indicates, but in chutz la'aretz, you don't have every city, only in the districts do you have the batei dinim. There's a machlokis we've shown him here, whether or not there's a requirement to have a bezdin shel chaf gimel in chutzlartz. It sounds like from the Gemara that there's a chiv to have one in chutzlartz, it's just not as frequent, or not every location, every city requires one. But the Meiri says there is no obligation to have a bezdin b'chol pelech b'chutzlartz, but if you choose to have one, you're allowed to, and it would have a din of a bezdin shel chav gimel, but there is no requirement. There is a machlokas in the Gears to the Rambam, whether he holds like the Meiri, that's a option, or there's a requirement, as the Gemara itself seems to indicate. Okay. Gemara now says, Sanhedrin, how regis v'chulei ibarilu, they're trying to clarify the position of who is this Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that one every 70 years is called a chavlanis. So what does that mean? Echa achas l'shivim shana nikres chavlanis? One every 70 years is called a chavlanis? Oh, dilma orcha orch arahi. Or maybe one every 70 is considered normal, but more frequent than that would be considered a chavlanis. Meaning 170 is good, but two every 70 years, that's already considered a chavlanis. So the Gemara says, take it, we're not really sure which one that is, what the answer is. Gemara then finishes off the Mishnah explaining Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Kiva, Omer, Me'ilu, Hayinu, V'chule. They had said, had they been on a Sanhedrin, they never would have allowed anyone to have been killed. So the Gemara clarifies, Hei Chayav Avdi, how could they have done this? How could you let someone guilty off the hook? You have to have some evidence proving that they're innocent. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Damru Tevayu, both of them hold, Re'isem Trefa Harag, Shalem Harag, they are going to ask a question. The person who was murdered, was he a Trefa? Maybe he already had a hole in his lungs and was going to die in a few seconds, and maybe that's the person he killed, and he's already considered dead. Or maybe he was Shalem. Do you know what his health was? So Amar Vashi, Vashi says, Im Tim Salomar, if you're going to say Shalom Hava, and maybe let's say he was Shalom, let's say you knew you saw his blood work, and he was very, very healthy, you had an internal examination, so everything was completely healthy somehow. And Dilma, B'mokum Saif Nakav Hava, maybe he had a hole, but you put the sword right through his lungs where exactly he had the hole. So when you open up his body, you see there's a hole in the lungs, that hole was always there maybe, and the sword just mamash went right through. So they were going to ask such questions, which leaves some level of doubt, and they wouldn't have murdered, had anyone killed with capital punishment. Now, look at Tosus Dir Maschil Dilma. We're going to just do the first few lines here. Tosus asks, Koshel Rabbeinu Tam. It's very hard to say this, because Damrin Meper Kamen Dechulun, Daf Yud Aleph, Umapik Le'mikrat, based on a Pasuk, Delo Chashin Elaha. We're not concerned that the guy might have a hole somewhere. Dazin and Basaruba, we go based on Rov, and Rov people don't have holes in their lungs or anywhere else in their body. It's a very strange thing to suggest that maybe that's why you killed a person who had a hole in his lung. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Devale Lo Chashinun. We're really not concerned at all that this is a true fact. Elahaya Shoalahem, Im, and there's a bunch of yourselves issues, but we'd ask them the question. Now, once we ask them a question, and then they say, I don't know, Amru Dulo Yadin, I'm skipping the parentheses, Amru Dulo Yadinam, Yivata Ha'idus. And he goes on to bring proofs. Meaning, you don't have to ask that question. That's not part of the Jish of Hakiras. But then we have other questions you could start asking, all the Bedikos, and then if they start saying, we don't know all the various details, so then it ends up being thrown out. So the more questions you ask, and the more doubt there is, even though there's no reason to ask such a question, was there a hole in his lung, still that's going to leave some level of doubt. Now, I don't want to get involved in this, but I believe the Gemara, the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, if a person says Eini Yodea for one of the Drishos V'Chakiros, which is where they were, what time, then it's thrown out the window. But I believe if the bedikos, they say ein yodea, I thought we don't throw out the edus. So I'm not sure how this stims with the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. I could be misremembering. But that's what Tosaf suggests, that we're not really choshesh that he has a hole in his lung, but we ask the question anyways and make them say ein yodea, in which case we'd throw out the edus. Gemara now says, Bebolas ha'erva hechav avdi. So what about bolas ha'erva? How do you get around that problem? A guy is with an Asher's ish. So how do you know that? How could you get him off the hook? They're Adam that saw that. So Abai v'Rava Damri Tabai. They both say Reisem Kimchol b'Shufaferis. Do you see the actual Ma'isa Bia? You didn't really see the Ma'isa Bia, so you don't really know what happened. You saw they were in the room together, but that's about it. So you have no proof what went on. And so then Rabbanan Hechidaini. So the Rabbanan who would judge such a case. So now that's a very good question. If you didn't see the actual Ma'isa Bia, so on what grounds are you able to murder the Eishes Ish? So they explain Kishmuel, the Amar Shmuel, B'menafim Mishiru Kimenafim. When it comes to Bia, when it comes to Eishes Ish, there's only so much you could see. So with regard to that, as long as they're acting as people who are doing Niyav act, that's enough proof to have them killed. But according to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, they would say, no, you have to actually see the Ma'isa Bia to convict them of this act.
How would they ever make a Soita?
So I was going to ask a question, because Soita, according to Soita,
right. That's just Stira.
They just have to see that she was...
Exactly, so if there's a different din. It's all you right. need is a Stira.
That's enough to kill her.
That's fine, well, you give her the drink. That you don't kill, that's a Torah, that's a Mishamayim. You give them the drink, and if they did something wrong, so the Torah says, okay, they did something wrong. And if not, then not. When it comes to Edus, we're not relying on Shemayim. There's no potion we're giving them. It's based on our testimony, what we saw, we're killing them. So it's according to Shmuel, it's, nonetheless, it's enough to see them doing what they've been doing, to doing things that they shouldn't be doing. That's enough information. And again, Rabbi Kiva, B'tarfon, Mamash, you have to see the Ma'isa of Ma'isa Bia. Toza asks an interesting question, K'michol B'shefaferes. So he says, Tema. Ovid of Odozara, Michal Shabbos, Ma'ik Lememar. What are you going to say by those cases? I mean, we explained when it came to murder and when it came to Eishes Ish, how there'd be a way out to say why they'd be innocent. But if you see a guy cutting a tree on Shabbos, how are you going to get them off the hook for that case? The Hasam, Lo Matinul Miftere, there's no way off the hook for the case of the Chil Shabbos of Odozara. V'ha Heichi Kamar, Lo Haya Adam Narag. So how could Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon say they never would have killed someone?
They didn't know Shabbos.
What?
Yeah, but there has to be
Hasra. Exactly, Hasra. So how do you explain? So Tosa answers, V'yeshlomar, dimikol makom kamar shapir. They're still saying good. Because lo haya adam nerag mishum de lo shchichi kulihai kim b'rotzeach v'arayas. Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are not common. So it's very unlikely that case would ever happen for them to have to even look for a zechus. But Ritzicha and Niyuf, which are things that are very common, so then they have to explain why you could get around that onesh. We're flying through Maseches Makos. All right, we're a third of the way through. Mishnah says now, new parak. This next parak, by the way, when it comes to murder, all the halachas of murder, it's very confusing. There are very, very details about how the maaser were done. This next Amud Beis is going to be a lot of technical cases of darshin lepsukim. So if you want out now, Adam. So Mishnah says, Elu hein hagolin. These are the following people get gullus. So Hahorig Nefesh Bishkaga, one who murders accidentally gets galus. Hayama Agya Ba Magela, a guy is the Rashi explains how they used to have a very flat roof and they'd put tar on top of the roof, and every rain season they'd re-tar. So he was busy rubbing the tar on his roof, and there's like the up motion and then there's a down motion of it. So they make it like a little slightly slanted. It was flat, but a slight slant in the tar. How they rain? What?
Using now to roll on the tar.
Yeah, whatever it is, but they had all right. So they had this flat thing, and they wanted to have the tar go a little bit of a slant to make it like a very subtle slant, so the rain comes off the roof. So then they have this roller. So the Mishnah explains how Ma'agel b'Ma'agela, they're busy rolling the tar on the roof, b'Nafla Alav, and the roller falls on someone, v'Haragto, and kills someone down below. Hayam Mishalshel, or let's say b'Chavis, he's lowering down a Chavis from the roof, b'Nafla Alav, and kills someone, falls on v'Haragto, and kills someone. Or Hayayorid Basilim, he's coming down a ladder, v'Nafla Alav, and falls on a person below, v'Haragto, and he kills him. Hayreza Gola. Those are all situations of Galus. Whenever there's a Derech Yerida, on a downwards motion, so then the Lach will see in the Pasuk that you get Galus for that. If he's pulling the roller, he's pulling it up away from the ground, or he benaflalav, and how somehow the roller falls off the opposite direction that he's pulling him for akto and kills someone below, or hayadola bechavis, he's drawing up a pail up to the roof, venifsak hachevel, and the string snaps, venaflalav akto, and drops and kills someone below, or haya ola basum, he's climbing up the ladder, and v'naf alav, and falls down v'hargo, and kills someone, all these cases are raised at eino gola. They do not, the person does not get galus for all these cases, as we'll see why in the Gemara. And zaklal, this is the rule, kol shebederach yiridasa gola, anything that's in a downwards motion and ends up killing someone, you get galus. But if it's not downwards, in other words, it's upwards, so then eino gola, you do not receive galus. So Gemara wants to know, how do you have such a distinction between yiriyah derech yirida versus derech aliyah? So Amar Shmuel explains, Amar Krat, the pasuk says, vayipol alav vayamos, you fell on the individual, ad shiipol derech nefila, has to be a derech nefila, meaning your actions were a downwards and nefila type of action, whether climbing down a ladder, lowering the chavis, or rolling down the tar, any of those directions that you read of, that's when it leads to galus. This pasuk, vayipol alav vayamos, is in the context of the galus psukim. Fine. So then the Gemara now darshans the various psukim when it comes to Ritzicha, Tan Rabbanim. Bishkaga, so again, this pasuk is also talking about galus. Only if a person kills someone accidentally does he get galus, prat to the exclusion of the mazid. A guy killed someone on purpose, so he's not going to get galus. Bivli das, if he didn't have any knowledge. Prat lemiskavin, if he had intention, then he would not get galus. He would have to, if Edom Hasra gets killed, and if there are no Edom Hasra, so then he doesn't get galus either because it was either miskavin or bemazid. So the Gemara is going to go through right now. So the Gemara is going to say, wait a second, mazid pshita, of course. If it's mazid, of course he's going to not get galus. Bar katalahu, you're going to kill the guy. Of course he doesn't get galus. You kill him. You get a saif. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rava, no, ema prat laomer mutter. So Rava understands, ema, a guy says, oh, I think it claims ignorance. I thought it was mutter to kill someone. So omer mutter, that's karav lemezid. So it's unclear, we'll see in a second, that omer mutter is not so clear that it's mezid. So Rava is saying, we're learning from the drasha that no, omer mutter, claiming that you thought it was mutter to kill someone, that's considered mezid, and you wouldn't get galus. You don't deserve galus. So then the Amar Le Abai says the other way around. Omer Mutter, if you think Omer Mutter is the case that when it says Prat Lemezid, it's really referring to Omer Mutter, Rabbi argues an honest. No, a guy who claims ignorance, ignorance is actually honest. A guy just wasn't learned. A person who's ignorant is actually honest and is exempt from any type of punishment. So that's not Mezid, that's the opposite of Mezid, that's onus. So Amar Le, so by hold Shani Omer, Ha Omer Mutter, Karv Lemezid. Sorry, Rava responds back, I hold Omer Mutter is actually pretty close to Mezid. So there's a very fundamental machlokas here. How do you categorize ignorance? Is ignorance karav lemezid, you should have learned, or ignorance is you don't know lemaisa and it's onus? So that's part of the debate whether mezid here is omer mutter.
Did it come with hasra or
no? If there's hasra, if there's edim hasra, then the guy gets killed.
So that,
well, omer mutter case.
Right.
Omer mutter case. I don't think anyone would hold you'd get killed. Even the Rava who holds Karav Lemezid, it's not actually Mezid, so I doubt you would get... but I wonder if they're Edom Hasra, now do you become... Now you're learning. Now the guy says you can't do that. Does that... Has to be a situation. Okay. So the Gemara then says, so that's the case of Mezid, Omer Mutter. So then the Gemara says, what about Bivli Das? We said it was Pratla Miskavin. A guy didn't know. But if the guy was had Kavana, so then he doesn't get Galus. What's the case of Miskavin? Miskavin Pshita, Bar Katalahu. The guy had Kavana, that's amazing. That's a rig, yes. He should get killed. Miskavin amazing seemed to be synonymous. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba, Pratla Miskavin, Laharo Gesa Behema, Vaharo Gesa Adam. He had an intention for killing an animal, but yet his arrow went and killed a person. Or, Lakusi, Vaharo Gesa Yisrael, to kill a Kusi, but instead he hit a Jew. Then, We've seen this before in other Hesugis. It could be Sanhedrin, that makes sense. Lenefel, Vaharagis Ben Kayama. He's trying to kill a stillborn, instead he killed someone, a child, or anyone who was a Ben Kayama. So those are situations of Kavana. If he had Kavana to kill something or someone, then he, even though it was a different target, he doesn't get Gullus either. Fine. So then the Gemara darshans further about other psukim. The psukim of a Ritzicha, by the way, are scattered throughout. There's several parshios in the Torah. I remember all the parshios that discuss it. So this is another pasuk. The pasuk says, Tanu Rabbanan im bipesa, if it was done suddenly. So what does pesa mean? Prat lekaren zavis, if it was in a corner. So if you look at Rashi, three lines from the top, bipesa prat lekaren zavis, lashon pesa hu besamech. The word pesa doesn't mean suddenly, like I would imagine it means next to. have to be next to the guy. As opposed to a guy who's in Karen Zavis, Rashi explains, one guy's leaving an alleyway, this street, and he's turning right, he's turning the corner, all the smaller, he's turning left, he's walking around with a knife in his hand. The other guy's coming around the corner, around the bend, he doesn't see him. That's not pesa. Pesa is when you're right next to the guy, you're samach. But you know, turning the corner where you don't see the guy, so that guy doesn't get galus. Then the Gemara darshins, what does it mean below Ava? And the pasuk below Ava literally means without any animosity. Prat lasone, as opposed to a guy who had a relationship that was not a good relationship, so then we think maybe reglein ledover, you killed the guy on purpose. So we can't assume it's shogeg if you had a previous relationship with the guy of hating him, so then he would be pater from galus either, meaning he doesn't deserve galus. Galus is only for a person who gets mamash shogeg. Anytime there's a level that might be more than shogeg, closer to mazid, so then he doesn't deserve galus.
And he doesn't get killed either.
He doesn't get killed.
He
waits.
Doesn't get the kapara.
Exactly. He's living his life with this over his head, this onish, or this aveira, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take into his own hand. So then the Gemara says, what about the word hadafo? If you pushed him, so shadachvo begufo. So this is coming to include. Up until now, we were trying to exclude cases. Hadafo is coming to include. Even if the guy pushes you with your body and ends up killing, so that too, Rashi explains, below miskaven. The guy bumps into the guy, and actually the guy's a bigger guy, and he crushes a smaller guy accidentally. He falls on the guy. One might think that might be some level of mazid involved if there's a fight. Or he just bumps, you know, he crushes the guy. That is a case of it. We know it's there's no sinna there, and it wasn't miskaven. All those things, he would actually get gullus as well. Oh, hishlich alav, or he threw on him. So that comes to include lahavi yirida shitzorech aliyah. So we spoke about in the Mishnah in a yirida. We spoke about an aliyah. But what about a yiriyah letzorech aliyah? You did a downwards motion in order to do an upward motion. Are you trying to bend back to do an axe and to hit up? So on the way back, you accidentally hit someone behind you, like swung the bat, let's say. You went back and swung backwards, and then you hit the guy behind you. So that's considered Yirida Shehi Tzolcha L'Aliyah. But since it was a Derech Yirida in the beginning, even though the ultimate goal was to do an Aliyah, that's categorized as Yirida, and you would get Gullus for that. Below Tzadiyah, without ambushing, Prat L'Miskaven L'Tadev Halchala L'Tzad Acher. If the guy aimed for one side and ended up the arrow going a different direction, so then that would not be included in Gullus. That guy wouldn't get Gullus. Then the Gemara says, V'asher Lo Tzada, and that which he, I think, also a Lashon of ambush, but this is a different Pasuk. That's Prat L'Miskaven Lizrok Shtaim V'Zarek Arba. He tried throwing a rock two amos, ended up going double, went four amos, and he killed someone, so that also is not, he didn't ambush a guy, he wasn't planned, if you will. So therefore, that also is pater in gullus. Vashayavo es re'eu biyar, the pasuk says, and you went with your friend into a forest. So what's that teaching us, biyar? So the Gemara says, ma yar rishus l'nizak l'mazik l'konish l'sham, has to be an area where they both have equal rights to be there. That forest is, no one owns the forest, it's a neutral territory. So the accidental murder took place in a no man's land. So af ko rishus l'nizak l'mazik l'konish l'sham. So just like yar, no one owns it, so it has to be an area like rishus harabim, where nobody owns it. As opposed to if it's in my property, the guy comes in and I accidentally kill him. Or in his property, that so then since it's not, we don't have the equal rights, then you'd be pater from galus. Now again, just to make it clear, pater from galus sometimes is good, sometimes it's bad. Pater from galus means you didn't do anything so bad and you're completely honest. Sometimes pratla galus means that you did it so bad you don't deserve the galus. So the Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, by Minei Rebbe Abohu, May Rebbe Yochanan, Haya Ola Besulam Venishmat Hashleva Mitachta. The guy's climbing up the ladder, and one of the rungs slips down, v'nafla, and falls, v'hargo, kills a guy below him. So, maho, what's the halacha? Kiai gavna aliyahi? Oh, you read it. He's stepping up, but on the ladder. So there's his foot's going downwards, but his body's going upwards. So is that considered an aliyah, or is that considered a yirida? So amalei kvar nagata birida shi'itzolch l'aliyah. So the Gemara says, we already addressed this question. The Braisa tells us that a yirida, the tzorch aliyah, we categorize as a yirida, and he would be chayv galus. So esive zeklal. They quote from the Mishnah. Zeklal, this is the rule. Kol shebederech yiridaso gola, shelo bederech yiridaso eino gola. Anything that's downwards is gets gullus. Anything that's not downwards is not going to gullus. So the Gemara says shelo bederech yiridaso lasu yemai. What's this category of not in derech yiridaso? What case is that coming to include? My lav lasu yekiagavna is not coming to include that a yirida Shelo tzarach aliyah, that doesn't deserve galus against what we said above. And the Gemara says, according to your logic, kol shebederach yiridasa l'suyamai. What is everything that's in the derach yirida? What's that cloud? What's that extra line the Mishnah coming to include? So the Gemara says, we can't make any conclusion from the Mishnah about yirida l'tzarach aliyah. El is talking about another case, l'suyay katav, a katav where there's a butcher. So a guy has a butcher knife, hachanam l'suyay katav, coming to include a butcher knife. So what does that mean, a katav? What type of knife? What's going on here? So the Gemara now quotes a brisa, a four-way machlokas, the Tanya. Katav shaya mekatev, a butcher who's cutting. Tanacha, the one brisa tells us, lefanav chayev lachar pater. If he kills someone in front, he's chayev galus, but if he kills someone in back, he's pater from galus. And then the Gemara says, another brisa, tani idach lachar of chayev lefanav pater, the opposite. If you kill someone behind you, you're chayev, if you kill someone in front of you, you're pater in galus. Tani idach, the other brisa says, bein lefanav, bein lachar, chayev, both directions, both in front and in back, you're chayiv, and then the final permutation is tani idach bein lefano bein laachar of pater, both in front and back you're pater. So how do you deal with a four-way machlokas here about lefanov and laachar? And the Gemara says lokasha, there is no stira between these four different brises. It all depends on kan birida shelefanov valia shelachar. If he went downwards, he did like downwards motion thrust and thrust backwards upwards. So since the front was down, so down is pater, chayiv and galus rather, and upwards in the back is you read in the front is chayiv and galus, aliyah in the back would be pater from galus. That's one case. Then the other case is kan belia shelefanov viridel shachar. This time is he went upwards in front, went up like that, and then down to the back. So now since the aliyah was in the front, he's pater in the front, but since yirida was in the back, he's chayiv for killing someone who's behind him. So then the Gemara says the third case is kan birida shelefanov shelachar. One is the yirida below and behind. He's like kind of like cutting low, down back and forth or something. So there, since lefanov and achar are both yirida, so he gets galus for killing someone in front and back. And then the final brice is kan bealiyah shelefanov b'shelachar. He's doing an upwards motion both in the front and the back, in which case he's pater from galus. And that's what that you said. Zach Klal in the Mishnah is coming to refer to those four different scenarios.
So this is basically. Yeah.
Yeah, by Epol.
There's no
Svara.
Yeah.
Svara, no. Svara, you could say no.
I mean, especially if you say that the guy, like the guy in this case, because this case is obviously, let's say somebody goes from up, down, and down like that. So then he's higher. If you go, it's the same, almost the same. The same action. It's just.
It is a positive, but I believe they explain a Svara of some sort that since when you're going downwards, you're doing that downwards motion. So then.
No, right. So if it wouldn't be because of these prices, you would say that it makes sense because you're supposed to be much more careful probably when you go up and when you go down or whatever. But in this case, the guy, what is it, even if he's looping up and down or looping, it's obviously.
Are you saying up the ladder makes more sense than his hand motion?
You're saying that, that when you go up, you should be more careful because you're starting with whatever. And you could fall, but whatever. But this really, there's no.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. I never learned these sugyas. I get so confused with the different cases. Okay. The Gemara now says, last narrow line, Lema Katanai. Let's say this is Machlokas Tanaim. What's Machlokas Tanaim here? Haya Ola Basulim, a guy's climbing up the ladder, Vidishmata Shaliva Mintachtav, and one of the rungs fall below him. Tana Chada Chayev Tani Idech Pater. So there's a Machlokas whether you're Chayev for that rung that fell off and killed someone below. One opinion says Chayev, the other opinion says Pater. So my love of Bahak Mithogi is the machlok is not to be explained as follows. The Mar Savar Yuridahi, Mar Savar Aldiahi. Meaning this is you're stepping up the ladder. So that's a Yurida, you're stepping your foot down, Litzarchalia, to help raise yourself up. So the opinion in the holds your chayiv galus assumes Yurida Litzarchalia is considered Yurida in Chayiv and Galus. And the Bryce that holds that your potter thinks Yurida Litzarchalia is actually considered Aliyah, and we said your potter in Aliyah. So the Gemara says, well, that is not the debate between these brises. The Chuliyama, everyone agrees, Aliyahi. Everyone agrees that actually going up the ladder is considered an Aliyah. But Lokasha, Kan Linezikin, Kan Legulis. It depends. With respect to Gullis, so it's considered Aliyah and you're Pater. But with respect to Nezikin, even though it's Aliyah, we don't care about Aliyah with regards to Nezikin. We have the concept, Adam Muad Li Olam, Yechayiv in Nezikin, whether it's Mezid, Shogig, Onis, whether it's Aliyah, Shkaga, Yerida, whatever case it is, you're always Chayiv in Galus. So this really is an Aliyah case, and there's a special Gzeres HaKazim that Aliyah is Pat in Galus, But with respect to Nezikin, Aliyah is Chayav. That's, so there's no debate. That's the difference between the Brises. Yeah?
This just makes it not come in. They just said that this is talking about the Shliva. It's not talking about the person.
Yeah, that, I think that's the Pashup Shot of the Gemara. I thought so. That's what I thought, at least. Did someone say elsewhere? Otherwise? Right. He did point out.
He's saying if the person would be
putter. So let's look at the variety. I'm not sure he's arguing, but he makes that point. Very good. Look at Tosas Dima Maschal Nishmata Shliva. Haragtel Beshliva. Now the wrong killed someone. Aval im hargo adam putter dibaina and derech yirida. So we're assuming that the person is actually going up. It's the wrong, that there's a pressure of the wrong, but we don't view the person as actually doing a yirida. The wrong presses down a little bit. But the body himself, okay, fine, very good. Now, Gemara says further, another suggestion how to explain this machlokes is ibais ema havaha legalos. Gullus. Really, both cases is gullus. So when do you get gullus? When don't you get gullus? Velokasha. Ha de islia, ha de lo islia. What's islia? So one, depending how weak the ladder is, if it, you know, started to rot a little bit. So Rashi explains, ha de islia chayiv, if it's rotting, so it's chayiv. Shekol shliva shitlia, any rotted rung, kishadoris in ale, when you step on it, nuchfefas, it bends, limata v'yirida, that's called the yirida. Normally you step on a rung, it doesn't move, it's strong, there's no yirida there even. Even though your pressure and mass is the yirida, if I'm standing, that's not called yirida, even though there's gravity, I'm standing on the floor, that's not yirida. You have to have a yirida that you see. So if it starts to bend, so that's yirida, that's when it's a rotting rung. But ve'im loitli, if it's not rotted, it's a very strong piece of wood, in kanirida, then that's all aliyah. So that's the machlokas with the mitzias, whether it's a rotting rung or not.
It's rotting, then
it's bending, so then that would be considered yirida.
Exactly. It would seem that the difference is if it's actually putting pressure on it or not.
Well, not either way, it puts pressure on it. When you step in a rung, you put your pressure on, but is it going to bend to your pressure or not?
It would seem that one has to happen immediately and the other one after the actual weight is on it. I think that's a technical thing.
Well, I saw from Rashi that there's no rung that's be, if it's a strong rung, it's not going to bend at all.
Because Arso says, "Shitliyah ha'etz shel hashleva u'machmat zeh nichvefet hashleva klafei ma'ata miyad kasher dorchim aleha v'nimtzaim ken shemiyad kashedarach aleha nichvefa hashleva klafei ma'ata v'nishmeta." Meaning, it seems that it's breaking even before he's having any upward movement.
Uh-huh.
But then, in the case of a solid rung, there's no sag in the rung.
Right. I think it's both things together.
But the rung itself is what's killing.
Right. But it seems that the first one is not really good. As soon as he steps on it, it comes down. So there's no. Right.
But I don't see that in Rashi anywhere. I wonder if someone else is saying that.
No, he doesn't quote Rashi.
They quote a Ritva here. It could be Tosos, maybe also. It's a Tosos here. Pasha Prat from Rashi, I don't see that. But it could be other. There seems to be a Tosos and Ritva here also, maybe they weigh in as well. Fine. The third suggestion, how to reconcile these two braises about whether you're chayiv or pater going up the ladder and the rung falls and kills someone. Ibai Seima, Havaha Delo Islia, maybe both cases where it's not a bad rung, it's a very strong piece of wood. And Velo Kasher, there is no contradiction. Hadi Mihadak, Havadul Mihadak, whether or not it's tightly in the ladder itself. If it's not tightly in, that means it's loose, you could step on it, it slips right out. So that's the situation where there's Yerida. But if it's tightly in, so then that would be considered an Aliyah. Just look at Rashi. Rashi explains, Ha de Mehadik, Im Haisa Shliva Male Hanekev. If the rung fits nicely into the hole of the ladder to the side, she tchuva bo that's plugged into it, Vachuzi Yafa, it's held tightly, Yafa, Ein Kan Derech Yerida Opata. There's no Yerida, it stays in strong. If it's not tightly in, Yerida Yesh Kan Echayv, it kind of moves around a little bit, it's loose, that's already a Yerida motion, and that would be, that would result in a Chiv Galus. Fine, let's start through the next mission and at least get to the top of Daf Ches. The Mishnah says, "No, Nishmat Habarzel Mekaso." If the guy is busy hitting a tree, and then as he's hitting, the metal part of the axe flies off. So Vaharag can kill someone. So then Rebbe Omer Eino Gola, you don't get Gullus. And Chachamim Omer Gola, you do get Gullus if the again that metal part comes flying off. Let's say min ha'etz hamisbakeh. You're hitting the wood. So this time the metal doesn't fly off. You hit the tree, and a piece of wood chip flies off and kills someone from the wood, from the tree. Rebbe Omer Gola, Rebbe holds you get gullus for this. And Chachamim Omer Eino Gola, Chacham so hold you don't get gullus. So what's this machlokas, whether you get gullus if this wood chip flies off and kills someone? So the Gemara explains, Tanya Amar Lehem Rebbe L'Chacham. Rebbe say to Chacham. Again, Rebbe holds, for the flying piece of wood, you get gullus, and Chacham holds, you don't get gullus. So Rebbe says to Chacham, Rebbe holds, you get gullus for this case. V'chinemar, there's a pasuk say, V'noshel HaBarzel Me'atzo, Me'etzo, Ehalolo Nemar Ela Min Ha'etz. The pasuk clearly says, not Atzo, Ha'etzo, or Atzo, sounds like it comes from the metal from the wood. It doesn't say that coming from the axe itself. Min ha'et says it comes from the tree. So the pasuk is clearly talking about wood flying from the tree. The nashal habarzel min ha'et from the tree itself and kill someone. That's when you get gullah. So that's Rebbe's understanding. V'o nemar, moreover, nemar eitz lamata, nemar eitz lamala. It says eitz in one place, and it says eitz in our context. Ma eitz ha'amor lamala, just like eitz it said earlier, ha'mina eitz ha'misbakea, that eitz is referring to that wood is flying off a different tree. It's referring to cutting down trees. So it's talking about the peros, cutting down fruit trees, I think. So here as well, af eitz ha'amor lamata, just like the eitz here, in the context of murder, it's referring to mina eitz ha'misbakea, referring to the wood from the tree, not from the axe itself. So that's the two proofs of Rebbe. Again, it says min ha'et as opposed to mei etzo, and the gzer shava eight. So comes along Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi, Amar Rav, ushnei mikra echadarshu. The truth is, both Rebbe and Chachamim learn from the same pasuk. The darshu v'nosha barza min ha'et. Rebbe savar yesh eim l'mesores. And Mesoris means here the tradition of how it's written, not how it's read. It's written as Venoshal, but the Mesoris is Venishal, Ksiv, it's written as Nishal, even though it's read as Noshal. Rashi explains how this is, not so clear. Nirban Savri Yesh Aim Lemikra Venoshal Karinabe, Noshal. So Noshal means the way the grammar is Noshal is you're doing the action. As opposed to the eights that are coming off, that's Nishal, that's passive. When I hit the tree, the fact that a wood chip flew off, that is Nishal, that's a passive. That happened, incidentally, it flew off. So Chamhol Nashal means I'm hitting the axe, that's my Maisa, then the metal flies off, that's when you get Chayiv Gullus. If I hit the tree, and then that causes a wood chip to fly off, that's Nishal. The Pasuk doesn't say Nishal, the Pasuk says Manashal. So that's the debate. It really boils down to Yesh Eim L'Mesoras, the Mesorah of how it's written, or V'Nashal, the way it's read. Fine. And then we have to look at Rashi to appreciate why it's Venishab, because the Pasuk doesn't have any Yud there. The Pasuk says Nun Shin Lamed, so he explains that there's an extra Aleph there and a Hey. He explains something to understand what's going on here. But that's, the debate, whether it's a Nashal versus Venishal. So the Gemara says, V'Nashal Rebbe Yesh Eim L'Mesoras, Svirle. Is Rebbe really, he's really part of that camp that holds Yesh Eim L'Mesoras, that you go based on the Mesorah of how it's written? But doesn't the Gemara tell us in Daf Ches? Now we'll just go a few lines. V'hamar Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rebbe Yehuda ben Roitz, Ubei Shammai, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Kiva, Kul Svir Le Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Rebbe's on this list here. It's Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Gemara says you're right. He really does hold the Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Hainu Dekamar Le V'O. That's why he had to bring the second proof of the Gzeir Shava 8:8 that referring to the tree, the wood chip from the tree, as opposed to the metal from the axe itself. Okay, we'll stop here. Pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.